howlife.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let's have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I can change, courage to change the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will not mind. Amen.
I assume that I'm not alone this evening. But for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
I am.
I'm Pam.
Oh, yes,
here.
Right over here.
Here we are.
Please use the yearbook and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and mutual support are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movements, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Yes, can you hear me? This is Mary G.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. What is How? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide, PASS.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Would someone please read the only requirement? Is there some?
I don't see Karen.
Is there someone? You don't have to be a sponsor to read.
I can read that one if you like.
Thanks,
Jane.
It is the only requirement, yeah?
Yes, okay. Thanks, Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive eater. And before I start, I'd just like to say there are tons of readings tonight for sponsors, non-sponsors, and people who would like to read a candle tonight later if you're a sponsor. So after I read, I will post all the links to that. And Bob's your uncle. You can go service crazy. So reading number two, the only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We have Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Heidi?
Sorry, I was just answering in the chat. Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. The how concept.
Hey, Heidi.
The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would somebody please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hi, all. I believe that is me.
Hi,
good
Meg.
To see everyone. Hi.
Mr.
Okay.
Hi, Megan.
Yeah. I missed you too. I'm sorry I couldn't get here any earlier. Hey, reading Reflections for the Newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain constant for the beginner, as is for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That is from the doctor's opinion, Big Book, Roman numeral, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue their own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we all need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. That's from the Family Afterword Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the addictions so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Megan.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
I'm Susan, a compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Hey, Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 9 through 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule, and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this.
Oh, she got. We can't hear you. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know where to start. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we would get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, We became battle weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, and some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that our compulsive eating progressed. It became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay, would someone please read from chapter 5 of the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Chapter 5, how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided that you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil, until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with a complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Kelly.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Sorry. Kelly, compulsive overeater. Hi, y'all.
Hey, Kelly.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaim, what an order, I can't go through it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We're not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, would someone please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, I'm Tina. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are trusted but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Thanks.
The tools of recovery, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, are a program of recovery. Webster Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program. Did I cut myself off?
No, you're good.
We can hear you.
Hold on.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, sorry about that. Bedtime. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Really?
What? Really?
No way. Oh.
No, I can't believe it.
It doesn't work if you don't use it. So too, with our tools of recovery, I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone please be willing to be the timekeeper? Do we have a timekeeper?
Hey, Pamela, I'm going to be your timekeeper tonight.
Thank you.
It's Megan.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Megan.
Props via chat. And I need a sponsor to read Abstinent Plan of Eating.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I'm going to read the Abstinent Plan of Eating.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Megan, if you could give me a verbal verbal time, that would be great.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend on each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from bondage the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum, unless they become a problem. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of a disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the how program concepts use the following guidelines for our food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use the food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call our sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so there's no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. All right, so now I'm gonna describe our abstinence kit. So our abstinence kit is, bear with me. Okay, this is a manual scale. If you live in Minnesota, it's good to keep in your car because the ones that are digital freeze. This is a digital scale. This is by far the most used scale that I have. I love this scale. I use it multiple times a day. I keep batteries on the side too, just in case it goes wonky, because that's one thing you don't want is your scale to go wonky. So I measure I weigh most of my food. And the cool thing is you can put something in there and then this little tear button, you can tear it out and then put the next thing in there. So it's great for building your meal. The other thing we use is measuring spoons. And I use this for peanut butter a lot of times. So I put my peanut butter in there and then I scrape it off with a knife. And then I take these little miniature spatulas, and everything on the spatula and in here is mine. Anything that's on the outside is not mine. I used to take a paper towel and wipe the edges around it. Also, this is a measuring cup, same thing, straight edge off the top. We call people. This is a lifesaver. Also, Telegram app is something I use quite a bit as well. We drink water. We have a vitamin every day. So I think that describes the meal kit. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. Otherwise advised by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use food containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. All right, so when I joined the program, I thought, what's this deal with the string bean? It doesn't make sense to me. And then I realized the longer that I was in the program.
Karen.
Yeah. I'm
sorry, but you got more to read with the abstinence.
Oh, I do. I'm sorry. Okay. I think I'm done. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. What am I missing?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So going back to the green bean thing, I thought, what does it matter? It's a vegetable. It doesn't make a difference. Why would you have a problem with the green bean? And then I realized what a liar I was. So with us food addicted people, what I do is I lie a lot, because the food addiction a lot of times is a secretive problem, especially for me, because I have been involved in all of the eating disorders, exercise bulimia, regular bulimia, anorexia. So lying about food is just second nature to me. But fortunately, with the structured meal plan, I can go through my day and have my structured meal plan and then talk about it with my sponsor and say, okay, was everything followed? Yep, it was followed. So it just keeps me on track. It holds me accountable. It gives me more integrity. So with the integrity and honesty that I have with the program, my body and my mind are now working together better, essentially. And if my body and mind are working together better, then I can go throughout my day and I can be calmer and I can be more productive at work. I can be a nicer friend. I can be a nicer coworker. I can be nice to people who call on the phone to help them through their food problems. So my sponsor helps me out a ton with keeping track of my food. And I honestly, I don't know if I make more mistakes than the...
A minute left.
Okay, thank you, Megan. I don't know if I make more mistakes than the average person, but I do forget my food, which is something, like I'll just forget to eat something, which doesn't make sense if I look at my little plan. I shouldn't forget something, but I do, because I like to cause confusion. And so, but my sponsor and I have worked through that problem to keep me accountable. So I'm grateful for the structured program and thank you everybody for your service. My name is Carrie and I will pass.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Sorry about the interruption. Yeah. Okay, sponsorship.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome.
Hey, Debbie.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. For me, sponsorship is critical. It's a critical part of my program. That first person that I talk to every single day is my sponsor. I call her early in the morning and commit my food, do my reading and writing, read her what I've written, I should say, and then give her my 10 step. She also has me tell her some things that I'm grateful for. And it really starts my day off well, right? And then in the evening, one of the last things that I do is talk to a sponsee. So I always kind of say that I sandwich my day, you know, my sponsor in the morning and a sponsee in the evening. And it just works really well for me because, you know, I do my outreach calls in between times, you know, throughout the day, but, you know, really doing that sponsorship and being a sponsor myself is so important to my recovery. It just helps me, stay abstinent, and it helps me be a better person, and it helps hold me accountable. You know, I'm accountable to my sponsees for staying abstinent so that I can continue to be there to support them. And I'm accountable to my sponsor to do, you know, it holds my integrity. I do what I tell her I'm going to do. I eat what I tell her I'm going to eat. So for me, that's what it's all about. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
For the sake of time, will all Powell and OA sponsors please join me in the sharing only the following. 1, how long in OA and how. 2, how long abstinent in OA and how. And 3, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raised hand button on the participants panel or pressing *+9 on your phone or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting monitor remutes your line. Move through the line.
Amanda A.
Compulsive overeater and food addict. I began my journey in the rooms of How in October of 2003. My current back-to-back abstinence is May 5th of this year. I've released 36 pounds since returning 101 from my top weight. I do also have an opening for a sponsee, for a returning member or a newcomer. I can leave my number in the chat. Thank you.
Ruby Tao.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Ruby Tao. I walked into the OA rooms in December of 2004, was introduced to the 2-hour OA How format in May of 2017, where I became abstinent on May 23rd, 2017, and continue to remain abstinent by the grace of God and the power of this format, this program. My body has released approximately 100 pounds. Thanks.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly C. from Pennsylvania, a compulsive overeater. I started OA How in December 2019, which is also my abstinence date, and I have been relieved of about 35 pounds. Thank you.
Bryn?
Yeah, I'm Bryn, recovering compulsive overeater, a 2-hour compulsive overeater sponsor from Wisconsin. I first walked through the doors of OA How in March 2004. My most recent abstinence date is October 2007. Out of 554 pounds, I gave up 335 pounds. I'm maintaining a weight level that my doctor wants me to, that I pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, hello everyone, it's Erlinda from Chicago. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds. I don't have an opening, but I'm grateful to be here. Thanks so much.
Mary G.
Mary doesn't have any audio connected.
Mary, push *9 on your phone or *6. We'll come back to you. Tamara? Gotta unmute, Tamara.
Okay. My name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was blessed with the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of almost 100 pounds, with 75 pounds being in the HAL program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you all for being here.
Kellyanne.
Hi. Kelly P., Connecticut. I've been in OA since 2017, released 100 pounds, came over to Howe in June, and released the final 20 pounds. I am a temporary sponsor, available to temp. And my number's in the chat. Thank you.
Kathy.
Hi, everyone. Kathy C., food addict from Minneapolis. I've been absent in OA Howe since January 21st of 2003, and by the grace of God and the miracle of the fellowship of the people in these meetings, currently maintaining a 75-pound weight loss, the easier, softer way.
Mary G.
Okay, here I am. Mary G., compulsive overeater in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Shauna, I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right. Shauna?
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Shauna. I'm a compulsive overeater in Texas. I have been in OA House since January 2020. My abstinence date is March 23rd, 2020. I am a sponsor, and I do have an opening. I'll put my number in the chat. I've lost and am maintaining a 35-pound weight loss. Thank you.
Marlena W.
Hi, I'm Marlena, and I'm a compulsive eater and a two-hour half sponsor. And I've been in and out of regular OA for over 40 years, in HAL for about 4.5. My recommitted abstinent date is April 22nd of this year, and I'm down 55 pounds from my top weight.
Heidi.
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Heidi, and I originally came to HAL October 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I came back a few years later, 110 pounds heavier, and I'm currently down 70 pounds. Thank you.
Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. I came directly to HAL in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Megan.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence, I came into HAL in February of 2009. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away between 85 and 90 pounds in this program twice, and I'm at maintenance. I pass.
Jane S.
Hi, I'm Jane. I'm a compulsive overeater on Vancouver Island, BC, Canada. I came into a regular OA about 2009 or 2010, around there. I came into the HAL program September 19th, 2019, and I've been abstinent ever since, and I've released between 12 and 14 pounds. Thanks.
Kelly S.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kelly S. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am in Syracuse, New York. I came into OA HAL towards the end of April of this year, and my abstinence date is May 10th of this year. And I am available to help somebody get started, and I will put my number in the chat. Thank you.
Debbie Z.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Big Lake, Minnesota. I came to OA in February of 2005. I started working the HAL concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018. And I am down 120 pounds, and I pass. Thank you.
Christina C.
Everybody, it's Christina in New Mexico.
I'm a sponsor. My abstinence date's June 2017, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss, and really happy to be here. Thanks.
Patty V.
Hi, my name is Patty V from New York. I'm a 2-hour OA House sponsor. My abstinence date is April 23rd, 2019, and I have lost 106 pounds so far, and I pass.
Hiya.
Hi, everybody. This is Hiya P in Denver, Colorado. Still in my workout clothes, although I didn't work out yet today. I am a 2-hour house sponsor. I'm very, very grateful. I've been an Overeaters Anonymous for 35 years, except for about 1 year of that time. I am a bulimic compulsive overeater, recovered, thank God. My current abstinence date is June 20th, 2019, and I'm maintaining a very healthy weight. Thanks. Hiya in Denver, Colorado.
Linda. Linda, you have your video on. Do you want to go ahead?
Oh. Hi, my name is Linda, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I just like to listen. Thank you.
Anne Marie.
Hi, everybody. This is Anne Marie. I am in Virginia. I've been in OA House since 2016. My current abstinence state is March 11th of 2020, and I am 150 pounds lower than my highest weight. Thank you.
Howard.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstinent a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 3 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm from Minnesota. I'm a compulsive over and under eater. I joined the rooms of How in September 21st of last year and have been relieved of 35 pounds. Is there any other people on the phone that are sponsors or anybody else that I'm missing? If you want to speak up, here's your chance. Otherwise, yep, we've got somebody who raised their hand on the phone. Number ending in 5519. If you want to star six.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. this is Jana B. Sorry, I'm wearing a mask and kind of muffled in smoky California. Compulsive overeater and 2-hour How format sponsor. My recommitted abstinence date is August 4th, 2014, and I released around 20 pounds and have been maintaining that for about 5 years. And I pass. Thank you.
All right, Pamela, if you want to go ahead. I think we're done.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate that. My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour house sponsor. I came into OA in the 1970s, came back to OA How on January 22nd, 2016. And my recommitment date is June 15, 2017. I just celebrated 3 years and I got 3 years and 2 months now. And I've been for temp sponsor and hookups. Thank you. Okay, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We would not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. And would somebody read and share on anonymity?
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tal.
Hey, Revy Tal.
Revy Tal.
Hey, Revy Tal. Welcome.
Good to be here tonight. And happy birthday, Pamela. Okay, so anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health and honesty, with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, quote, your secrets are safe, end quote. Come share our recovery, recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear when you leave here, please let it stay here.
Here.
Yeah. And so for quite some time, what I heard was anonymity was about do not gossip, do not talk about other people. I didn't hear the what to do. What was the positive side of that coin? And what I came to understand is that it is the very principle of anonymity that allows me to lovingly detach from the individual and listen to the message that they as a conduit are carrying. The message of what this disease can do to a person, the message of what recovery could look like in a person. And when very, very controversial things are shared in the room or in one-to-one conversations, such as my own history, very, very controversial stuff. When I was in another 12-step version of OA, I was judged. I was given, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And I got those responses. And what I know today is that those individuals were not able to separate Revy Tal from what this disease can get Revy Tal to do if she doesn't get her inventories done. If she doesn't clear her conscience, she's going to go seek pleasure in all kinds of places because she's got incredible will around food. And before I knew it, the disease snuck away and reinvented itself, transmuted itself into a whole other behavior. And I thought I was being abstinent. I was holding on to my dear food plan. And anyhow, it's really, really important to work the steps and the tools and to remember, for me especially, to remember to separate the individual from the message that they carry, both in recovery or in relapse. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Revital.
Thanks for sharing.
Would a sponsor please share and read on telephone calls?
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. Telephone.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome.
Hey, Sheila, welcome.
Thank you.
Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And I specifically chose this tool tonight, the specific tool of the telephone, just because as I've been reflecting on the past week, I've had a couple of very specific scenarios where the telephone has just been very, very important to me this week. I guess it's important to me every day, and that I, you know, talk to my sponsor, as it says, and I talk to other fellows, but a couple of situations that just really stuck out to me this week. And one of those is just one situation that I was, you know, kind of had been floating around in my head for a while, kind of an issue that had been floating around in my head for a while. And it finally came to me. It's like, you know, this is I have an opportunity to talk with my fellows about this. And so I was sharing, you know, throughout the week with different fellows about this situation that I had kind of floating around in my head, and was just able to get some really great suggestions, feedback, and just people to listen. And it was just a reminder of like how powerful those conversations on the telephone can be. Another scenario that I had was something, it was kind of a good experience. And it was what I had said to someone was, you know, I really want to keep this experience like in my back pocket. So, you know, the next time this similar situation arises, I can maybe handle it in the same way. And someone had reminded me like the best way to keep that, you know, positive scenario in the forefront of my mind is to actually just be sharing it with others, telling others about it. It will help me remember maybe what to do next time. And so those are just a couple of things that, you know, happened to me this week. I remember when I first came into program, you know, thinking about making 3 telephone calls a day plus calling a sponsor just really seemed overwhelming, knowing that, you know, most days I didn't talk to anybody on the telephone. I'd be lucky if I actually talked to 1 or 2 people on the telephone over the course of a whole week. So, you know, talking to at least 4 people in one day was, seemed like a big chore. And it's really come down to that. This is like one of my all-time favorite tools of our program. And that I get to know people get to know me, and just an opportunity to share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Would a sponsor please read and share on meetings?
Hi, I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi Amanda. Hey, welcome.
Amanda. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experiences before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of all of them. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. So meetings for me, I've been in program. Sometimes I've taken breaks as I have needed to go out and experiment more, but I've virtually been in this program for about 17 years. And I figure over the course of that 17 years, I've probably been to a couple thousand meetings. And I love how each and every meeting, I hear something different. I hear something that I needed to hear that day. I just get something from every single meeting. And coming back to program this past May, you know, just a couple months into this whole pandemic, I live in Minnesota, and at that time we were under the stay-at-home order. Like, the meetings were almost my only socialization I was getting, even though there's not direct interaction with many of you during a meeting, but I got to see people, I got to hear people, and they weren't my kids, they weren't my family, they weren't my coworkers. It was like other people who understood my crazy head and I could relate with. And I have been so grateful for meetings since returning, with so many of them being on Zoom. I honestly probably go to about 4 or 5 meetings a week, just because I have situations like now. My son is at baseball. I'm sitting in the van just waiting for practice to be done. I'm like, might as well. Otherwise, I'll just sit home and watch TV or something like that. So not just stay here and be on a meeting. It's really great. Or, you know, even during my work day, I did the Tuesday morning meeting this morning because I was just able to have it on in the background as I worked. So it's really been great to have these meetings. You know, some of them I can't stay for the whole entire thing depending on what's going on, but it's really been a blessing. And then I just have to switch screens here. This morning I was reading out of Bill Sees It, and I had read something that I thought kind of related. I found the PDF. I believe it's on page 62 of As Bill Sees It, but the PDF I found is kind of weird. But it's titled A Different Swinging Door. When a drunk shows up among us and says that he doesn't like the AA principles, people, or service management, when he declares that he can do better elsewhere, we are not worried. We simply say, maybe your case really is different. Why don't you try something else? If an AA member says he doesn't like his own group, we are not disturbed. We simply say, why don't you try another one or start one of your own? To those who wish to succeed, oh no, I lost it. To those of the... who wish to succeed from AA altogether, we extend a cheerful invitation to do just that. If you can do better with other means, we are glad. If after a trial they cannot do better, we know they face a choice. They can go mad or die, or they return to AA. The decision is wholly theirs. As a matter of fact, most of them do come back. And that is an excerpt from the 12 Concepts, page 74 and 75. But to break that down, I just think, wow, that so relates to my program, to my meetings.
Time's up, Amanda. Thank you.
Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
Would a sponsor please share and read on literature and writing?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda.
Hi,
Erlinda.
Hi, Erlinda.
Hey, Erlinda.
All right, literature and writing. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. For today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So I do have to say that literature and writing, I was kind of like, okay, like, I don't know, like, why is this a big deal? Kind of feels like a chore. But I really am falling in love with like the big book. I'm like, holy moly, there are so many little nuggets of wisdom just throughout like all the pages. And so I'm finding like just inspiration and understanding and like a profound inquiry into like the problem I have, right? And like that others are out there with the same struggles and how do they deal with it and some of the ways that worked and didn't work for them. So I just find it so, I'm starting to really like it. So it kind of surprised me. I guess I wasn't expecting to really like it. You know, it's kind of more like a chore, something I had to do at first. And now I'm kind of really, really grateful for it. And then the other part is the writing. The writing, like, you know, I kind of was relating it to like journaling and whatnot, but I swear, like, if you are overeater or sugar addict or all that stuff, like, for me, it was the food. That's where I turned to. Like, it didn't matter, like, happy times, food. Sad times, food. Like, nothing mattered. And with the writing, I feel like that's like another tool that I can turn to instead of doing the normal tool that I, you know, grew up with, which is eating and stuffing my face to avoid dealing with stuff. I can just sit down and write, you know. So I like to pull out nuggets from the book and really go in depth and pull it into my life and really apply it in my life. So both the literature and the writing, I feel, are tremendous tools in my recovery. And I'm just so grateful that I found other ways to deal with life instead of just eating. And I just feel so blessed and so grateful for that. So thank you so much. And really, really, you know, it might come off as a chore at first, but try it. It's really amazing. If you kind of pay attention, you see these sparkles of amazingness. So thank you. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks, Linda.
And will a sponsor share and read on service?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Tamara.
Nice to be here. Service. Carrying the message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that can help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in the group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we're promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. I think it's interesting, the printed section that I just read was obviously done when there was more face-to-face meetings, you know, putting away chairs, making coffee. But it's amazing when you think of the amount of service it takes to put on not only an in-person meeting, but a technologically advanced one, like with this Zoom. I once heard, I think it takes 20 people to make an in-person meeting. And it seems like, you know, there's probably even more aspects of it now that we have technology. You know, there's someone needing to do the control panel and the editing kind of, the chat, the phone list, the list of sponsors. You know, there's just a ton of behind the scenes people, and this meeting wouldn't be what it is now unless there was a lot of people doing service. I used to think I was pretty unique in my illness, and I was actually shocked and pleasantly surprised the first HAL meeting that I was at, because I realized, you know, I'm not that unique. There's a lot of us out there that have similar or the same problems, and there's service that we can do to make meetings happen, And there's also service that we can do, even taking phone calls. One of the things I did this week was I was really kind of in a hurry and a little unorganized, and the phone rang. And my first thought was, oh, not now. But my second thought was, yeah, now. You know, now is the time that I can do service and I can pick up the phone and I can give someone my attention for, you know, a few minutes and just share either what I'm going through or what they're going through. And just listening is really a big service that I can do without trying to solve their problems or do anything like that. And I as well, I'm reading through the big book, and I found this passage today, and I just thought it kind of applied to service. It's in the chapter of He Lived Only to Drink. It's on page 450. But the quote was, I also learned that alcoholism was an equal opportunity illness. It did not discriminate. It's not restricted to race or creed or geography. At last, I was released from the bondage of my uniqueness. And if it wasn't for the service of everyone putting on this meeting, we wouldn't be able to connect across states and continents. And a lot of the world now has the opportunity of hearing the word of recovery and the promise and the hope that it brings us. And so thank you all for being here and doing service, and even picking up the phone and doing service in all those other ways as well. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara. Will people doing service for OA at any level please applaud and cheer for service?
Yay. Woohoo! Service!
Yay. Yay.
Service! All right!
Yeah. Yay! The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. Please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press star 6 on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your name, your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. And is there any new people here? Or
I'm new to this meeting.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Welcome, Tina.
Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Oh, thank you all so much. I'm going to put my number in the chat. It's Eastern Standard, and call anytime. I don't pick up when I'm not available. Thank you.
Tina,
welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Toby. This is my first OA meeting. Thanks for letting me be here.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Toby.
Hey, Toby. Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Toby.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyone else?
Hi, my name's Michelle, and this is my first HOW meeting, and I'm probably not ready to do phone calls. I can do texting, but I work a lot and have a really busy family, so anyway, that's what I would say, but I'll put my phone number in the chat for texting. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Fine.
Sure. Welcome.
Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Welcome, Gloria. Glad to have you.
Yes. Really glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I came to this meeting a couple times a year ago, and this is my second time this year. I'll put my name in the chat. I would love calls. I'm in Ohio, so Eastern time, and I'm usually available. I'll put some times, but generally I'm available. So, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
welcome, Cindy.
Glad you're here.
Cindy.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we continue. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_abbreviation_ in your city. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Not tonight.
Okay. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Okay, I'm gonna read bad news. We got some bad news for you. It was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you, whether you're quit 6 days, months, or years. If you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive overeater. Big Book, page 187.
Say it isn't so, Pamela.
It is.
Bummer.
Yeah, I know. Are there any announcements?
Hi all, this is Megan in Virginia. I have a quick announcement. I'm one of the folks who helps to find speakers and leaders for this meeting, and we are great for the rest of August and well into September. However, we do have the last Tuesday of September open for a speaker, and then moving into October. So I just wanted to put it out there, especially if you have a special day, an anniversary, or like the month you came into program or some other significant time period that you would like to give service and share your story and your experience, strength, and hope, we would love to hear from you. And I'm going to put my information in the chat and you can reach out to me and I can help you get signed up. Or you can go right to the Sign Up Genius and do it for yourself, which is awesome too. So thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Any other announcements?
Yep, I got an announcement. This is Carrie. I sent out the email on Sunday night and we have a couple volunteer opportunities. One is, if you actually have noticed, we've lost our ASL interpreters because we don't have enough participation, especially from the deaf community in Minnesota, greater Minnesota. And then also we need an intergroup rep. So if you're interested in stepping up, like Tamara said, I think it probably takes about 30 people to run the meeting, honestly. So if you're interested in an opportunity to volunteer, please reply to the email and we can get you set up. All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Any other announcements? Literature and books, newcomers and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroup resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bigbookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so is there anyone celebrating 15 years or more of abstinence tonight? Okay, 12 to 15.
Not tonight.
9 to 11.
Keep coming back.
6 to 9. 3 to 6. Anyone celebrating 2 to 6 years? I thought we had an anniversary to it. Oh no, it's a step up, sorry. Went 1 to 4 years.
I have 18 months, Pamela.
Yay.
Hey, Linda.
Yay, Linda.
Way to go.
If you'd like a medallion sent to you, Erlinda, put your information in the chat box and say your 18-month medallion, please. And somebody will contact you and get your mailing address. Okay. That was one.
A year?
Months. 6 months. 90 days, 3 months. 2 months, 60 days. 30 days.
I have 30 days.
Yay, Susan.
31 today.
Susan, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Where am I? There I am. The cat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, put your name and phone number in the chat. Somebody will call you and put in 30 days there so that
okay, thank you, Pamela.
You will.
Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone with less than 30 days? Now comes the medallion for surrender. Is there anyone that this does not mean that you're abstinent tonight, or that you were hoping that by this chip you might decide to come and join us, but it's just a remembrance that you came. And if anyone would like a surrender chip, or a coin of desire, it's called coin of desire. So if you could, is there anyone that would like a coin of desire? Anyone?
This is Cindy. Hi. I would.
Oh, great.
Yay.
Congratulations, Cindy. Welcome.
Awesome, Cindy.
Thank you.
If you put your name in, put desire chip next to your name and your phone number, somebody will contact you and get your information so we can get that out to you.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. We have a step up tonight. It's Kelly P.
Yay.
Yay.
Step-ups. At this point of our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that are about in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant, and that's going to be a virtual cactus plant, to signify the touch of love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water, and remember that you don't water down the program. And I know that Kelly P. is stepping up. Anniversary. Okay. And Kelly, I hope you have a calendar. Calendar. Candle in front of you. I hope you have 5 of them, matter of fact. And
yeah, I got a stupid cat that burns his little nose on them.
Oh.
We didn't learn.
No. Yeah, they are like that sometimes. Okay, before you have five candles: truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. Use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings are combined to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. Okay, so now we go to the candles. Candle one.
My name is Shauna, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, Kelly. Candle number one. The candle of truth is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception.
Candle number two.
Hey, Kelly, it's Howard. Congratulations. This is a candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds the promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Congratulations.
Candle number three.
Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you.
Candle three. This is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things.
Candle number four. So, was that four? Mm-hmm. Candle number
four.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Pamela, I thought I was unmuted. It's Megan. I have candle number four.
Okay, thank you, Megan.
Okay, candle four. This is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God. Accept that only He can restore us to sanity. Kelly, congratulations.
Thank you.
And candle number five.
Hello, Kelly. I found a candle right at the last minute. I thought, what box is it packed in? Okay, this is candle five. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see Him and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you.
Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This indeed, the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not accept his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward. Whether his brother has yet received anything or not, his own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experience of which he had never even dreamed. Particularly, every AA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than a 12-step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light. To these, their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning. To see whole families reassemble. To see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and how all to watch these people, and above all, watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. Congratulations, Kelly. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your
story. Thank you all.
Congratulations, Kelly.
Congratulations.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anniversaries, birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight?
Not tonight.
Okay. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step up as your anniversaries via the link on our website. Okay. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Do I have 10 minutes?
Two.
Two?
Two.
Okay. My name is Pamela, and I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict sponsor. And, okay, how do I put this in 2 minutes? Like I said in the lineup for sponsors, I came in OA in the 70s, lost over 100 pounds. I left when McDonald's came out with their softy hot fudge. And I did other opportunities. I had was diagnosed with candidus, which is an allergy to yeast, wheat, and all kinds of good stuff. And I kept my weight off for quite a while. And then in 2016, I came in to OA How. And how I got here was I kept seeing my girlfriend getting losing weight, but her attitude, the glow about her was so different. And every time I would see her, which wasn't very often, I would ask her what she was doing. And of course, my ears dropped because I didn't want to hear of discipline. And I thought, restrict, restrict, restrict. I was not going to do that. And besides, I blamed OA for my illness back in the 70s. In actuality, it was my own fault. And then I came in here in 2016, and I met my girlfriend at the Sarasota meeting, and I came out of there thinking what have I gotten myself into? Well, I want to tell you, I have trudged the road to happy destiny. And I'm so grateful that I've got this program and that.
That's know, time.
Thank you, Megan. And appreciate you letting me share for 2 minutes. I would like to now introduce Cassie. Kathy is our speaker tonight. I'm sorry. and she will share with us for 20 minutes, and you can let Megan know how you like your time.
If you just put it up in the corner, Megan, you know, up in the right-hand corner.
Sure. Would you like a 2-minute warning? Why
don't you, I'd like a 10, a 5, and a 2, if you would, please.
Perfect. I got it.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Megan. Hi, everyone. My name is Kathy. I'm a food addict, and I am so grateful to be here. What a great meeting, and congratulations. Wow.
To Erlinda. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I feel welcome, and you didn't even say it yet. This is a great meeting. And congratulations to Erlinda and Susan and to Kelly. Oh my gosh, what huge monumental milestones. I'm so happy for all of you. So you join us on the road to happy destiny, and welcome to all the newcomers too. That's awesome. I started on this journey because I had eaten my way up to 210 pounds and I did not get there because I was a shrinking violet around the food. But I also have not been a compulsive overeater all of my life. I was a pretty normal weight until I was, I think female in the United States, everybody thinks they're 10 pounds overweight. And I always did think that I was 10 pounds overweight. So I was always on one kind of a diet or another, but my weight never got out of control because I had all kinds of other ways to negotiate around it. My favorite was to just eat grapefruit and popcorn and hard-boiled eggs during the week. And then on the weekends, I would just drink and eat anything I wanted. And as long as I had these four little kids and I was chasing them around and we had a very active life and played lots of sports and tennis and stuff. And so my weight never really got much more than 10 pounds over what was really a very healthy weight for me. But I did not know that I have always had a food problem, which is that I am a binger starver. That was my way that I managed my weight, and a drinker and a smoker until I couldn't do it anymore. And so that my story is not necessarily like everybody else's. My weight did not go up and down and up and down, although I was a yo-yo dieter around with about 25 pounds that I'd go up and down and up and down a few times. But so this isn't really a story about how much I ate or how much I didn't eat or how much I weighed or didn't weigh, but rather it's a narrative of a person who got to be 63, and I was stuck so deeply in self-pity and self-loathing and depression that there didn't seem to be any exit. I absolutely could not see a solution. I was so deeply mired in the negative thinking that comes from having all that sugar and greasy carbohydrates in my system. I had always been somebody who was trying to avoid my moods, who didn't like any mood that wasn't favorable to me. And so I can remember from the time I was a little kid, if everybody'd get in a fight in the kitchen or the living room, I would just go in my bedroom, shut the door, and read a book, and I could just escape. So I've always been looking for an escape for life on life's terms. And I do still to that still do that to this day, but like someone said, now I've got the telephone and I've got reading and writing and I've got meetings and I have lots of other tools that I have learned in this program to deal with my desire to not feel the way I feel. Because I guess that's not going to go away. I'm always going to have feelings that are uncomfortable. I had one just the other day. Something happened that I didn't like and I didn't eat. I didn't even think about eating. And so that's really new for me. But what I really have learned, not so much about eating or not eating, I've learned how to step up and face my responsibilities and be accountable and be disciplined. Because even though I got to be 63 years old and I had been in another 12-step program for 20 years, by the time I got to Howe, I really did not know how to be a grown-up. I had a bunch of little tools in my toolkit, you know, which were self-reliance and self-sufficiency and self-determination and deny and rationalize and manipulate and justify. And, you know, these were the things that saved me from going off the deep end. And sometimes they worked, which is really too bad, because then they get reinforced that if I stamp my foot hard enough, I can get everybody to do what I say, especially if I yell along with it. And sometimes I could. And it's not a way of life that leads to happy relationships. Like I said, I got married. I was pretty young when I got married. I was 20. I had 4 kids by the time I was 29. Never gained 25 pounds during those pregnancies. Did a lot of drugs. I mean, in those days, they'd give you diet pills so you didn't gain too much weight when you're pregnant. And, oh my gosh, I was a prescription drug addict all through my 20s and into my early 30s. And then I became a social drinker as a way to manage my feelings. I could deal with it all day long while I'm eating popcorn and grapefruit. And then at night, I didn't even drink so much at night because I'd take a sleeping pill and just kind of escape. But on the weekends, I would just drink. And then when I was 38, I had 3 teenagers and a 9-year-old, and my husband decided that he didn't want to be married the way I see it. It was to us anymore. He wanted to go do something else with his life, and we weren't included. And I really went into a tailspin, and I became severely underweight at that point in my life. It didn't last very long, but a couple of my girlfriends took me out and said, you know, Kathy, we never thought we would ever say this to anyone, but you're too thin. You got a turkey neck. And that really, for somebody who is a compulsive overeater, you'd think that that would feel like a compliment, but it really didn't. It kind of freaked me out, actually. And so then I continued to drink and smoke as a way to manage my weight. I didn't control it, but I managed it so that it didn't bother me. Because pretty much I had clothes in 2 or 3 sizes, but I always could get into something or other. But by the time I was 43, I had drank myself into a alcohol treatment center, and I've been sober ever since. And then when I was about 2 years sober, I quit drinking. I quit smoking. And that was when the weight gain really started to change, along with aging and premenopausal symptoms and slowing down the metabolism. And I still was able to go to one of those commercial weight loss programs, crash off whatever it was. Usually I had, you know, it'd be about 40 pounds and I'd get 25 off, and then I'd go to some big event and then I'd go back. I never got the concept that once you lose weight, you cannot go back to the same way that you used to eat. I never got that. I don't know why. I was in a one day at a time program. I thought that I was well versed about nutrition and all kinds of things that I considered myself fairly intelligent. I was a really good student anyway when I went to school. But I did a 40-pound kind of a swing for a number of years. And when I was about, let's see, in my late 50s, I had been in a relationship with a man that ended, and it ended really badly. And I was, it ended abruptly and badly because of some secrets that came out, and it really destroyed me. I had no coping skills left. I had none. I just had put all my eggs in that basket, and I thought, I was always looking for a salvation. I wanted somebody to fix me. I didn't want to have to fix myself. And that was when I really hit bottom. They say that you know you've hit bottom when you quit digging. And I didn't even know that I thought that I'd quit digging ages ago, 20 years ago when I gotten sober. And I found out that I never, oh, thanks, Megan. I found out that I hadn't. And that I had a spiritual program, I guess. I mean, enough to keep me sober. And I went to meetings and I never thought about drinking. But, oh my goodness, I really was only just touching the very shallow surfaces of this program. And, you know, I never really studied the big book very much. I read what I was assigned to read. I went to big book study groups sometimes, once in a while, but I never really got that. What I was looking for was a way to live without crutches, and that the book has all the answers. It tells you exactly how to do it. And what it amounts to is that, you know, what it says about the book is that the book tells us that the main object of the book is to enable us to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And that was what I had to do. And I didn't even know it. I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired, especially of myself, that I threw myself on the floor of my den with my face in the carpet, just spread eagled out, and just begged God to remove the obsession and the compulsion, and especially the withdrawal. I would have the most horrible withdrawal if I hadn't had sugar for about 5 or 6 or 7, 8 hours. It was like, I've been told it can be sort of compared to a heroin addict, that I would have the sensation of ants crawling under my skin when I went into withdrawal from sugar, and I just could not override that. It says, you know, that we have a problem that no human power could have solved, and I certainly did. I could not solve that problem, but I knew about surrender, and I just was given the grace and desperation at the same time. And I threw myself on the floor, and I just begged God to remove the pain of withdrawal and the obsession. And the next day I got up and called somebody that I knew who was doing this crazy thing called How. And I went to a meeting, and it's my life has gotten better every single day since. Now, that doesn't mean that there haven't been really hard stuff and really down times and deaths and lots and lots and lots of loss. But what I have now is gratitude. No matter how awful anything appears to be, I can wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, I am abstinent. I'm abstinent another 24 hours. That just is, it's worth more than anything to me, absolutely anything. And the night that I surrendered, I've recently had to surrender another whole way of thinking, something that I thought was going to work out in a certain way, and I had it all planned, and it's not going to work like that. And I thought, you know, I surrendered the food why can't I do that with this? And I remembered that the night that I laid on the floor and prayed for God to remove the compulsion and obsession, I also said, and God, I'll do anything that you desire, that you think will help me. I'll even stay overweight. I'll even weigh I lost 75 pounds. I've kept it off, I don't know what, 15 years now. But I said, you know what? I'll even stay at 210 pounds. It's okay. I don't care what I weigh. I just don't want to suffer anymore. And if that means I have to go to India and join Mother Teresa and wash the feet of lepers, I will do it. And when I got to the point where I was willing to do that around this other situation that I have going on in my life, it doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, it's still probably not going to work out the way that I had planned it. And I don't know what's going to happen, but it doesn't matter, because I heard somebody say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And that's because I've gotten what this book says, which, you know, it enabled me to find a power greater than myself. And what it did was, you know, I had this horrible hole in my life, and it was filled with alcohol and drugs and food and men and relationships and shopping and just anything I could think of to just soothe that pain of that ragged, raw hole in the center of my chest. Someone described it like wind whistling down the alley on a dark night. Or somebody else told me it's like when you go skiing after you've had a tooth removed and you accidentally open your mouth and you get all that cold air on that socket in your mouth. And the pain I felt was so excruciating. I mean, it really was. And I've had lots of surgery. I've never had pain like that. I never want to go back there again. And I know that that's where the next donut will lead me. I know that. I was so physically addicted to sugar and carbs and grease and crunchy, creamy, whatever, that I could not stop thinking about donuts until I went and got a donut and ate it. I couldn't. I was incapable of doing anything for myself except asking God to help me. You know, I was just miserable. I was hopeless. I wanted to be saved. And like I said, I wanted to be fixed, and I didn't want to be the one that was going to have to do it. And what I found out when I came to Howe is that this is, you know, you can be miserable alone, and you can recover together. Misery is an I state. You know, misery loves company. After a while, none of your company wants to be miserable with you. Everybody just goes, well, I don't know what else to say to you anymore. I don't know how to help you. And, you know, I had lots of people who loved me, and they just really had kind of given up on me and were just standing by waiting for me to, I don't know what, explode. I mean, my skin felt stretched so tight on my little short frame that I really, some days I felt like if somebody stuck a pin in me, I would pop. And I was lifted out of that into a place, you know. Well, I guess I had a spiritual experience. It wasn't necessarily a spiritual awakening. I didn't give God tons of the credit until I finally developed a deeper relationship with my higher power. But I, you know, I just started working all the tools. I do all of them every day, and I call my sponsor and I talk to my sponsees, and I do lots of hookups. I very seldom have a day when I only have three hookups. Of course, once the thing is, oh my goodness, thanks, Megan. Anyway, you know, I've learned how to grow up. I've learned how to be a grown-up. Before, I only knew how to act like a grown-up. You know, get suit up and show up and go to work and feed your kids. And I knew how to do that. But I didn't know how to take care of myself emotionally and spiritually. And that's what I've learned in this program, is that you guys are always there. You're always there, no matter what. And I can always count on that. I never doubt that I have been given a design for living that really works. And I am so grateful. And thank you so much for inviting me tonight. This is a wonderful meeting. And I will pass.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks,
Kathy.
Thank you
so much, Kathy.
Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Kathy, who offered so much of herself.
Yay.
Yay, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
Yay, thanks for coming.
Would someone please read just for today?
Hi, this is Rena D., compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay,
Rena.
Hi,
Rena. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problems at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything else to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study, I will learn something useful, I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to this world, so the world will give to me. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
Thank you, Rena.
Thanks, Rena.
To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join me in to say the serenity prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves and let's pray for those who are suffering still inside and outside of these rooms.
Good night, everyone. Thank you, Pamela. Thanks, Kathy. Happy birthday, Pamela.
I hope you had a great celebration, Pamela.
I did, Megan. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Happy birthday, Pamela.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks,
Brit. Good night, all.
Good night.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right. Glad you could join us here.
Yeah, glad to be here. Well, maybe next time you can walk me through how to get on and do a reading.
Okay.
So.
We can do that.
How soon before the meeting should I get a reading?
Well, we sign people up all day, you know, and even during the meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. We'll talk. Well, listen, have a good absent night day tomorrow.
Yeah. Thanks, Bren. You too. Bye. Appreciate it.
Bye.